It's a lawsuit that's been going on since 1980. Known as the Jeff D. lawsuit, it focuses on children's mental health services in Idaho. Despite repeated attempts to resolve the 35-year-old case, it keeps coming back. At the core of the case is Idaho's system for providing care to kids with mental health problems. The Spokesman Review newspaper has been tracking the case. Reporter Betsy Russell wrote the story on the latest settlement agreement that came out last week. I asked her to look back at the case and to start by telling me who Jeff D. was and how his story started the lawsuit.
Jeff D. was Jeff Davis. He was a 17-year-old who had a very troubled life and had been committed to State Hospital South. And back in 1979, when two young lawyers went to that hospital, they found that he and other children with serious mental illness in Idaho were being committed to the state hospital, where they were housed with adult sex offenders. They were given no treatment. They were given no schooling. They were restrained. They were miserable. And this young man begged the lawyers to get him out of there. And these two young lawyers filed a lawsuit in which Jeff D. was the first named plaintiff. It was Jeff D. et al. Versus the governor of the state of Idaho. And since that lawsuit was first filed in 1980, we've gone through five different governors whose names have been changed out to appear on there, and four judges and six appeals. There have been four previous settlements. None of them worked out. But this settlement, the one that was announced on Friday, is being hailed by all sides as the time that Idaho has finally gotten it and realized it needs to remake its system of providing children's mental health services. And those changes are now underway.
Why has it taken 35 years to get to this point?
That's a really good question. The first settlement in 1983 was when the state promised to at least set up a separate facility for the children so they wouldn't be housed with adults, which is really an incredibly shocking thing to think that that's what had been happening in our state. But there were fights over even that first settlement. It ended up going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court on an attorney fee issue because the attorneys for the kids were told, fine, we'll agree to do these things, we'll separate the kids and so forth, but only if you waive your right to attorney fees. And the attorneys felt that they were being asked to put their own interests against their clients, so they agreed to the settlement, but they appealed on the attorney fee issue. They won at the Ninth Circuit. They lost at the U.S. Supreme Court. This case has been bouncing around ever since. And it's interesting that at this point, people on both sides, both the plaintiffs and the state, said what's different now, what's been different for the last 18 months, is the state's approach to this lawsuit. Rather than looking for ways to get out of this lawsuit, the state started looking for ways to fix the system, to serve kids better. Now, a lot of changes have been made over those 35 years. Obviously, we're not still doing what we did back in 1979, and many of them can be directly traced to the requirements of this lawsuit. But all sides are now saying there's been a turnaround in attitude, and the state worked collaboratively with the plaintiffs and their attorneys and advocate groups and families to come up with a better way to provide these services to kids in Idaho, with the idea that then the lawsuit would be resolved, and sure enough, that is what it took.
And what are some of the changes in the new settlement?
The changes call for an entirely different approach to children's mental health services in Idaho, an approach that is community-based so that kids with serious emotional disturbances would be identified and offered a whole array of appropriate services while they're still in their homes and in their communities. And this would require the cooperation of any number of different state agencies, from the schools to health and welfare to the courts, juvenile justice, and they are all required to work together to identify and provide those services to the kids who need them in a coordinated fashion. Now, obviously, you can't just snap your fingers and have something like that happen. And so the settlement calls for, now that the aims and the things that are required are agreed upon by both sides, 9 months to make an implementation plan, and then 4 years to put it into effect. And then after that, there's another 3 years of monitoring to make sure it's really happening and it really works. And if all sides agree, then at the end of 7 years, getting on eight out from this date, they'll go back to the court and ask the court to dismiss the lawsuit. However, they will still at that point, according to the settlement, retain a permanent injunction ensuring that this system remains in place and remains sustainable.
And do we know what happened to Jeff D.?
As of 2002, when a reporter from my newspaper, Jonathan Martin, managed to track him down, he was a transient who was living variously in Spokane and in Boise, eating out of dumpsters, in and out of mental hospitals. He had a very rough life. His attorneys have not heard from him since then. They don't know if he's still alive. But back in 2002, no one knew either, and they were very surprised around that time when he walked into court and said, "Here I am. This is what happened to me."
Betsy Russell is a reporter with the Spokesman Review newspaper.